Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless Mommy and Daddy. God bless my brothers and sisters and all my family. Please forgive all my sins. I don't know if that sounds familiar to anybody out there, but that was the prayer I grew up with. Every night, for years, many years. That was the outline, that was the prayer as a child that I offered up to God. And I wouldn't say every night, but as often as we said prayers, that was the prayer I prayed. Now, another one that my family was known for is grace. Saying grace before each meal. You always say grace. And that prayer went this way. And again, it's a child's prayer. God is good. God is great. Thank you for this food. Thank you for the hands that made it. And we thank you for all you do. That was grace. That was what we prayed before a meal as a child. You know, prayer and repentance, those are personal things. Those are things that are personal between me and God, you and God. But prayer and repentance are very personal. So when we go before God, when we pray, are we faithful? Are we full of faith when we go before God? Do we know God is going to answer our prayers? Or at the least, is God listening to our prayers? Maybe he's not answering, but is he listening to what you and I have to say? When we go before God to repent, are we sincere? Are we genuine in our repentance? Are we remorseful? Are we sorry for the things that we're coming to God repenting of? The title of today's short message is Faithful Prayer and Sincere Repentance. Those two work hand in hand. In fact, they can't. Repentance doesn't work without prayer at all. You've got to have faithful prayer before you can begin to repent. Think about this. When we get on our knees, or whatever position, I'm going to speak for my wife. She's got two knees that aren't natural. So to get on her knees is pretty difficult. Not everybody can do that. But whatever position you and I get into prayer, and I want you to think about that, do we remember why we're there? Do we remember what we're praying for? Are we detailed? Do we remember the things that we need to be repenting of? That's a very important question. But one of the most important questions, are you and I praying in faith? Again, do you and I know God hears our prayers? Start turning with me if you would. The title of today's message is Faithful Prayer and Sincere Repentance. Faithful Prayer and Sincere Repentance. That's the title of today's message. Turn with me to James 1. And some of the key scriptures in today's message is found here in James 1. This is the last time I looked. It says, my brethren, starting in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, I'm going to speak for myself. I could always use a little bit more wisdom. I do some pretty dumb things from time to time. Let him ask of God. And I want to slow down right there. Let him pray to God. When we're talking to God, when we're communicating to God, we're praying. So when it says, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, here's the rub. Verse 6, but let him ask, and again, ask, let him pray. Let him pray in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So, let's kind of sum up here a little bit. Prayer without faith is futile. Doesn't avail anything. Because what does it say here? With no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea. We're unstable. So faith is critical. In Romans, not going to turn there, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. That's where faith comes from. But faith is where everything starts. We all have to have faith. It's vital to our everything. So again, prayer without faith is futile. Let's dig just a little bit deeper into prayer just for a moment. When we pray, do we ask God to show us where we fall short? Do we really? Where we need to improve? And here's a good one. Do we ask God to show us where our hidden sins are? You know those ones that you don't see? I don't see? The ones that are there that we need to cleanse ourselves from? How do we do that? Well, there's only one way. And we ask God to show us where these sins are. When we pray and repent, hopefully each day, are we sometimes lazy? I'm going to, again, I'll snitch on myself just a little bit. I know I get lazy from time to time. I do. I become very lazy. I generalize my request for forgiveness, mercy, and healing. So exactly what do I mean by that? Well, when we go before God to ask Him to forgive all of our sins, or do we break it apart? Do we ask Him to forgive us each sin individually? Specifically, are we detailed when we go before God? Got to think about that. We should be. When we pray for the brethren and others going through trials, tribulations, we just heard something about the brethren in Haiti and brethren all over the world that are having trials in their life. Are we truly going there and praying specific prayers for them? And again, are we praying in faith? Sometimes, I've got to admit, I get lazy and I treat my prayers and my repentance kind of like dirty laundry, where I collect them all, throw them in a basket, you know, kind of wash them all together. That's not what God wants from us. He wants us to be detailed. He wants us to separate those clothes, separate those sins out, talk about them, ask Him to forgive each one. But there's a couple of caveats to that. We'll get into that in just a minute. I want to switch gears just a little bit. And I want to talk specifically just for a few minutes about repentance. Repentance. Now, the Apple Dictionary defines repentance this way. The act of repenting. That sounds kind of obvious. Sincere regret, listen to this, or remorse. And it went on to say, each person who turns to God in genuine repentance and faith will be saved. That's the definition of repentance. Interesting, isn't it? So, let's turn over to our next scripture. Actually, you don't have to turn. I'll read it from my notes. And that's Acts 17. Acts 17, verse 30. I want you to listen carefully to this. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked. Here it is. But now commands, didn't suggest, didn't say you kind of can, says commands every man everywhere to repent. We're commanded to repent. The only way we can have a relationship with God the Father is first, you got to start with faithful prayer. Sincere, genuine repentance and communication with God. And again, prayer without faith, simply futile. Doesn't add up to anything. Repentance without change, slip service. How many times, again, I'm speaking strictly for myself, don't want to throw anybody under the bus, I repent of the same thing too many times. I'm still repenting today of sins that I used to commit 20 years ago, maybe 30 years ago. Most of the time it has to do with attitude, you know, attitude issues, my attitude problem, anger, things to that nature. But we've got to remember, brethren, prayer is a privilege. Repentance is a gift. It's a gift, and it's also a privilege. These are the two key tools you and I have, each one of us have, to develop that relationship with God, to ensure our eternal future. Repentance is extremely important to God. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. You can find that in Luke 15, verse 7. Wow, they get excited. The angels get excited. God gets excited when one person repents. Think about that. That's important. I want to kind of go back a little bit to prayer. I want to read an article that I found. This is actually one that suits this message perfectly. And it's by Gary Petty. I love Gary Petty. You know, I mean, the way he speaks and the way he just communicates is I really like it. And the title of this from Beyond Today is, Where Are You, God? And it starts off this way. You are to pray for forgiveness. And this heartfelt request for forgiveness from God, also, forgive those who mistreat you. How many times do you go before God really acknowledging your sins and asking for forgiveness? Now, how many times have you gone before God asking for forgiveness for those who mistreated you? How many times do we do that? I mean, start thinking about it. How many times this last week did you get on your knees and pray for your enemies? Got to think about that. Continuing, Jesus then said to pray to God for protection against sin and evil. He ends his prayer outline by acknowledging the power and majesty of God, the one you're praying to. And this again, Mr. Petty says, you know, I've talked with many people who've spent years reciting the Lord's Prayer every day, but it wasn't until they realized that God wanted them to personalize their prayers. Be detailed. Using Jesus' teaching as an outline, they finally experience a connection with God. Jesus doesn't give us a ritual that magically causes God to react. What he does give us is an outline that helps us to relate to God. Now, some of you will be asking, what's the best position to pray? Well, you should spend time on your knees. And again, we've talked about that a little bit. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes it's any position you can pray in. Let's just listen here for a minute. You should spend time on your knees praying in humble appreciation and worship of God. There are times when you stand in respect towards God, especially in a public prayer. There are also times when you walk with God. There are also times when you talk to God as you walk, you work, or lay in your bed. Now, I really like this. This actually sums it up perfectly. An older minister who was very wise, who I respected for many years, was asked the question, what is the best position for prayer? He answered this way. If you fall into a well, get your foot caught in a rope that you're hanging upside down and no way to get up, no way to get down, at that time, at that place, that's the best position to pray. Now, I don't know if that's the best position that I would be doing in repenting, but that's definitely the best time to pray. Now, Mr. Petty ends his little article this way. It says, seek God's guidance in every endeavor. It says, take the time to thank him for those daily blessings that you know we often overlook. Realize that God wants to be included in your everyday activities. He actually wants to answer your prayers and my prayers. You don't have to turn there, but 2 Corinthians 7, I'm going back to repentance now. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 9. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. Now, remorse and sorrow are required for repentance. I want you to think about that. When we go before God to repent, we better be sorry. We better be ready to change. Verse 10, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Wow. You know, King David, he gave us one of the best examples of faithful prayer and sincere repentance in Psalms 51. I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to refer you to it. Read that prayer and the passion that David put into that prayer. That's the way you and I need to be praying, brother. In Psalms 51:11, it says, "Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Without God's Holy Spirit, brethren, we're nothing. We have no chance. It's that simple. No chance at all. Without genuine, sincere, heartfelt repentance and faithful prayer, just like David, we can lose the Holy Spirit. That's unacceptable. We can't go there. You and I need to be focused on retaining that Holy Spirit, using that Holy Spirit, and staying strong with God. Now, as I get to the conclusion here, let's turn over to our last set of scriptures, and that's in Acts 3. Acts 3 and verse 19. Acts 3, verse 19. Says, repent you, therefore, and be converted. This is what we need to do. We need to be repenting. How do we do that? We do that with heartfelt, faithful. We need to know God hears what we're saying, what we're offering up to Him. We need to be genuine in our repentance. We need to be genuine. We need to be sincere. We need to be sorry for what we've done. Let me read this over again. Verse 19 of Acts 3. Repent you, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come upon the presence of the Lord. And He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached to you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Bible shows us how to win. Bible shows us how to have our sins forgiven. There's some critical elements, two critical elements. Faithful prayer, and we've got to be ready to change. We've got to have sincere, genuine repentance. If we don't have those, brethren, if we're lazy and we just pick up all those sins and dump them into one basket, all those prayers, just dump them in, wash them all together, it's not what God wants. He wants you and I to be faithful. He wants you and I to be genuine. He wants us to pray to Him, and He wants to have a relationship with each of us. Have a wonderful Sabbath.